turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, and we'll read, be reading verses 1 through 10. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of our Lord. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all you, His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. And I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, and bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, These are true words of God. Then I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is the word God. So we now hear the hallelujahs of heaven when Christ has come in glory to take for Himself His bride, the church. Heaven celebrates God's victory over the harlot Babylon. And John first hears a great sound of a great multitude of hosts and host of angels ascribing salvation and glory and power to God. The judging of the harlot has made perfect the salvation of God's people. And this is what we have to look forward to on that day. We will rejoice and be glad because all opposition has been quenched forever. And the 24 elders, symbolizing the entire church, praise God, as do the four cherubim around the throne. So filled are they with thanksgiving that they can only utter two words, Amen and Hallelujah. One voice came forth in command, commands all the angels, all the saints to praise the Lord, and the great multitude responds with thunderous praise. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And as for the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb to His bride, the bride has finally been made perfect, it says here, and righteous. Verse 8, it says it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So it's here where the wedding feast begins, at the destruction of the harlot and judgment of all who followed her. In Jewish culture, the wedding, as you know, we talked about it, the wedding at Cana in John 2, the wedding feast would last a week or so. But this wedding feast lasts for eternity, forever. There's absolutely no divorce possible in this marriage between the Lamb and His bride. For eternity, there will be increasing intimacy, union, fellowship, and communion between the Redeemer and the redeemed. And if we're thinking in terms of the Jewish custom, what we've seen so far, if we look at the whole of the Bible, is this picture of those who have been chosen to be married to Christ from all eternity. His assuring assuming our flesh and blood is where he was betrothed to us, his incarnation, he was betrothed to us, and the dowry payment occurred at Calvary, the cross. And right now there is this interval between the betrothal and the dowry payment, and between those two things and the marriage supper of the Lamb, where they're married. The celebration of their marriages takes place. And in this time, verse 9, it says, blessed are all those who are invited to this marriage supper. These are the true words of God. And right now, what is the right response? Verse 10, it's worship. But not worship of angels, not worship of the cherubim, not worship of other saints, but worship of God. Now, Father, we do praise you and thank you for this great picture that we have in Revelation 19. The great picture of the harlot Babylon being destroyed, which we saw last chapter, and having been judged. Now we see the great proclamations, the rejoicings, the great praises to you, the Lord God, for what you've done in your judgment. And so, Father, we ask that you would be praised and glorified, that even in this time as we are awaiting that marriage supper of the Lamb, that we would be comforted again because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. Because he has secured these things which are proclaimed here for us, that these things will happen. And as we have been invited to the marriage supper, we are most blessed. Lord, cause us to see that and rejoice. Cause us to love you. Our Father, we ask that you would be with our congregation, that you would love us continually, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would exhort us, that you would rebuke us with the word and correct us and build us up in righteousness, that we would be perfected, that we would be sanctified, that you would cause us to put to death our sin. For Lord, we want to see this day when we will come before this great feast and we will feast with you forever and ever. Father, we do call upon you now that you would help us in our worship. Lord, aid us because we are not good enough. Father, we ask that you would be working in our souls, in our minds. That you would illumine our hearts by your Spirit. We would hear you speak. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.